The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Every single day, our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast joins us now. Always appreciate you for joining us, Elliot. But before I get into anything, I just got to get your thoughts on those Predators going on the road, taking on the big, bad Boston Bruins and beating them in their own barn. What have you made of this young Predators team and what they've been able to accomplish since the trade deadline?
Well, first of all, Carol and I was pretty impressed because if I remember correctly, a couple weeks ago when the Bruins came into town in Nashville and the Predators still had a pretty healthy roster, and didn't they lose like 5-0 or something like that?
5-0. It was rough.
Yep.
It was ugly. So I think to go into Boston with the group that you have now and to win there, which almost nobody has done this year, I think it's very impressive. It's very impressive. And you know what? I think the one thing I think now is that sometimes the enemy of success is comfort. You know, Ken Hitchcock, the former NHL coach, he would always say to me that there's a lot of people who are at their best when they're a little bit uncomfortable, right? And I would guess that that's probably happened a bit in Nashville here, that the team was probably pretty comfortable. A lot of the players were probably pretty comfortable. And now, you know, David Poile and Barry Trotz have thrown a bit of a grenade in there. And, you know, some of the players have come out and said, you know what? Like, it's going to be different, and some of the younger players feel excited that they are in a situation where they can have a better challenge, and they feel that they can contribute more. And I think that's changed the emotion around your team. And sometimes that's a good thing. To be a little bit uncomfortable is probably a good thing.
Elliot Friedman is with us. The playoff race is so fascinating in the Western Conference, but really across the NHL as a whole. You know, you got Winnipeg holding on to a playoff spot. You've got Pittsburgh holding on to a playoff spot, who Nashville will face tonight in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. If you had to pick one team that's kind of on the fringe of the playoffs, either in a wild card spot or vying for a wild card spot, that you think would not be in the playoffs come playoff time, who do you think it would be?
Well, you know, I think this at this time of year, Carolyn, I always pick by goaltending. And, like, I look in the West, and, like, you guys have a superb goalie there. Now, I still think the challenge is big for you guys. We talked about how your team has been a little bit rejuvenated. I just wonder, like, some of these young guys who played so well, have they played as many of these big games before at the end of the season? And how are they going to do? Like, you still had some results. Like, even though that, as impressive as that Boston win was the other night, you've had a couple of results that, you know, haven't been as strong. So I wonder if you guys have the overall consistency to get there. But I think if Saros gives you a chance, and he often does, you know, I think you guys have a shot. I worry about with Florida is their goaltending. Bobrovsky was sick last night. He didn't play in Toronto. He didn't even dress. I think they're going to need him to make the postseason. I think Pittsburgh, as you guys are going to see tonight, Jari, who's their number one goaltender, he's constantly been injured. He can't stay healthy, and they don't get consistent goaltending without him. I think at this time of year, Carolyn, if you don't have a goaltender you can depend on, you're not going to make it. And so I think the most dependable guys this year are Hellebuck and Saros. And that's why I look at Winnipeg and I look at Nashville and I say, you guys can be successful because you've got the backbone. And that's why, as bad as Winnipeg is going right now, I still think with Hellebuck there, they're the team to beat.
Talking to Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts and Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada. And Elliot, I shared the story with you, and the Predators have done a great job talking about it as well, but just how the team tries to, you know, be a release, be a healthy distraction if you just want to get your mind off it, but also being very aware of the sadness when you have such a tragic, shattering thing that happened to our city here a couple of days ago. I just thought it showed the character of the entire group, but also Ryan McDonagh doing what he did was pretty special.
You know, Willie, I really believe this, and Carolyn and Derek, I believe 95% of the people out there in the world are good people. I really do. I think most of us are very similar, whether we think we are the same or not. We're just people who, you know, want to do right by our families and our friends and enjoy life as much as we possibly can. And I think that there's a lot of, like, you know, in the 30 years I've been covering pro sports, I've seen lots of communities affected by, you know, different things. Some of them, you know, weather related, some of them, unfortunately, and very sadly, what you went through the other day, and now, and other different things. And I'm amazed at how people just rally around them. And I think people legitimately want to see other people do well. I think people legitimately want to help other people when they're down. And I think most people out there understand that life can be a big challenge, and anything you can do to help someone get through it, you're going to try to do it. And, you know, you sent me that that tweet, and I retweeted it with Ryan McDonagh and that young man. And to be honest, when I saw it, I wasn't surprised in the least. I think that the Predators try to do a lot of great things for their community. I think I think Ryan McDonagh over his career has proven he's a really stand-up person who would, you know, do anything to help anyone. And the other thing too is, like, in the game the other night, I wasn't surprised in the least bit that the Boston Bruins would also choose to wear the decal on their helmet. Like, I think everybody knew that the Predators were going to wear it, and we all understood that. But the fact that the other team involved, you know, and it was their home game, that they wore the sticker too, I think that tells you a lot about what community is. And I'm not surprised. I just think, I don't know if you guys think differently than I do, but I think most people in life are really good people who just want to be happy and make their families happy and try to help other people out where they need it. And the other 5% just ruin it for everybody else.
Yeah, great point on the Bruins. That was very classy how they handled that whole thing. Elliot, we want to know, do you know much about Jake Livingstone? Here's a guy that, you know, from Nashville's perspective, you don't really know who a team is in on, the college free agents. You know, you follow the draft picks and things like that. But here's a guy that's going to come right to the Predators and join the roster. So what do you know about this guy?
Well, I'll tell you this. I know that he was pretty highly sought after. Jake Livingstone, he's a little bit older. He's going to be 24 next month. But he's a talented guy. I know that when he was available at the end of the season, I know that there were a lot of teams watching him this season. I know that, it gets to a point where, when a season ends and his season ended at Mankato, a bunch of teams reach out and say, okay, what's this player going to do right now? Well, Livingstone had so much interest that he had to tell teams no pretty quickly. He said, look, where there's a lot of teams and you're not going to make the final list. And Nashville obviously was a team that he knew that had interest in him and he had interest in going to. And, you know, the thing I think, whenever a player like that picks a team, what that says to me is that that player sees opportunity in your organization. So he's a right-hand shot defenseman, and what he sees is he sees that he's got a chance to, A, compete for a job either in the American Hockey League or the NHL right away. And also what it says to me is he believes in your organization's commitment to his position. And, you know, Nashville historically has done a really nice job of developing defensemen. And I think that was something that really appealed to him, that he knows he's going to an organization that has success with his position. And I think he looks at your right defense, both at the NHL and AHL level, and says, I'm going to get a chance to play professionally, whichever league it's in, and I'm going to get a chance to learn and become a better player. And that's what it says about to me, because he's talented, Willie. There were quite a few teams that were in on him.
Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts and Sportsnet. We appreciate for joining us. We'll chat with you next week.
All right, Derek, do you get paid for this segment this week? Like, you know, you didn't ask any questions.
Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to put some things together. So I figure,
No worries.
I'm sitting back watching baseball. No, I wanted Willie to answer all the questions because we kind of left him out a while ago. So. I said, Willie, you can have
it. No problem. I heard you were talking a lot of football and baseball today, so I figured you were tired.
Okay. They got me outside of my comfort zone with the baseball.
Taking a quick breather.
All right, guys.
All right, thanks,
Elliot. You know what? I just wish all the best to the great people of Nashville. You're a huge part of the NHL, and hope everyone is doing okay as can be.
Thank you,
Elliot.
We appreciate that. Predators on the road at Pittsburgh tonight, and this team could carry a whole lot of momentum from that Boston team. What are the keys to victory for the Predators tonight? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, DeMays, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Mm-hmm. If you had to pick one team that's kind of on the fringe of the playoffs, either in a wild card spot or vying for a wild card spot, that you think would not be in the playoffs come playoff time, who do you think it would be?
Well, you know, I think this at this time of year, Carolyn, I always pick by goaltending. And, like, I look in the West, and, like, you guys have a superb goalie there. Now, I still think the challenge is big for you guys. Last answer, we talked about how your team has been a little bit rejuvenated. I just wonder, like, some of these young guys who played so well, have they played as many of these big games before at the end of the season? And how are they going to do? Like, you still had some results. Like, even though that, as impressive as that Boston win was the other night, you've had a couple of results that, you know, haven't been as strong. So I wonder if you guys have the overall consistency to get there. But I think if Saros gives you a chance, and he often does, you know, I think you guys have a shot.
That was Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet who joined us in the last segment. The Predators are on the road at Pittsburgh tonight. Puck drop at 6 o'clock local time. We will have all of your pregame coverage on 102.5 The Game, starting at 5 o'clock with Max Herz on the Predators pregame show. And I think that he hit the nail on the head. And all the credit in the world to these young guys that have come in and stepped up amongst the trade deadline and all the injuries facing this team, because they've played hard and they've played tough and they've played with a fire that this team hasn't played with all season long. But if you're going to make the playoffs, UC Saros is going to get you there.
Yeah, it's going to have to be him. He's essentially the quarterback of your team. And, if you're going to make it, it's going to be primarily because of what he's doing inside of net. Because you know what you're going to get, you know, out of the younger players, how they're going to play. But a lot of this is still new to them. They're still figuring it all out as they go. But you know, and they will start getting hopefully a few of these guys back that were injured, veteran guys that can help. But the one mainstay has been UC Soros, and he has played, you know, lights out. And if you are going to get yourself in that last spot or whatnot in regards to the playoffs, he has to continue to play at the level that he's playing at. And he's capable of doing it. We've seen it. So you're right. If everything hinges on everything hinges on whether UC Soros continues to play great, which we know he will. But if I'm just saying, if they do make it, it's going to be a lot of it. It's going to be because of what UC Soros was able to do in net.
There's no question. And you know what? I still am amazed that we're still even having this conversation. It's a credit to John Hines, who has kept this group together. And they're still, and for example, guys, I don't think they're going to get Roman Josi back tonight. It doesn't look like it. He skated extra today with the white non-contact jersey. And so he did a full workout, but not with the team. They had an optional skate. We won't know 100% until warmups, but you know you're going forward without Josi, so that's even more on UC Soros. I do think they will get Josi back sooner than later. The other veterans, I don't know that they're going to get any of them back. We'll see. So it's just remarkable, these guys that keep going in there and they're finding game plans that keep them in games. They've won 12 games this year by a score of 2-1. That's an incredible stat. That's a tribute to UC Soros, and it's also, especially recently with these 2-1 wins, it's a commitment to play the way you have to play, with structure, with discipline, and you know, not reckless abandon, because you're not going to outgun teams the way the roster is right now. They have to play defense first. They have to protect UC Soros, and they've got to be opportunistic to score goals. So it's amazing that they continue to stay in this race. And by doing that, like we've been saying all along, you get a true sense of an evaluation of Phil Tomasino and Cody Glass and Tommy Novak and Luke Evangelista, these young guys that they're trying to get a good gauge on. Can we win with these guys not only tonight, but can we win with these guys down the road? How do we situate our roster? Can we move forward from X, Y, Z? Can we count on these guys to be winning players for this team for the next 3-4 years as they build the roster, as Barry Trotz takes over? What is he seeing there? You know, so I just think it's a great story. And you've got, let's look at the flip side. The Penguins are trying desperately to hang on as a playoff team. They're barely in. They're 1 point ahead of the Florida Panthers, who won last night. The Penguins have some of the greatest players of all time, easily some of the greatest players of their generation: Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang. They've made the playoffs every year since 2007. They are trying to keep that streak alive. If they do get in, they're probably going to play the Bruins in the first round. They will be an enormous underdog. So there is pressure on them. There's more pressure on the Penguins tonight than there is the Predators. So just and if you look at the roster side by side, you know, you've got Cody Glass and Tommy Novak, center number one, center number two for the Predators. They go up against Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin tonight. That's your matchup. So what a great opportunity for Glass and Malkin, who just played against Patrice Bergeron, David Krejci. You know, they just went up against the good ones the other night in Boston. So it's a great challenge. Make no mistake about who the underdog is tonight. But the fact that they're in this conversation, they're in this battle to try to put more pressure on the Jets, it's just a great story. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they handle the challenge.
And it is going to be fun to see how this young Predators team is able to take that win in Boston and how they respond to it. You carry the momentum, are you able to kind of keep that juice flowing from that huge win in Boston and carry it into Pittsburgh? Do you see them maybe get a little bit gassed? It's going to be interesting to see that evaluation of the young guys. And really, to your point, the challenge doesn't stop at simply the Predators being completely outmanned or completely outmatched against the Evgeny Malkins and the Sidney Crosbys of the world. That's hard enough. Add in the fact that Pittsburgh has everything to play for, that Pittsburgh knows that they have very few chances and very few opportunities left in the season to continue to widen that gap between them and the Florida Panthers or the rest of the teams that are vying for a playoff spot. So when you've got Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and that Pittsburgh Penguins team, this veteran, very talented team, when they're playing for something, when they're playing at an opportunity for the postseason, I mean, it doesn't get any more difficult for this team. But knowing that this Predators team can go into this game saying, hey, coming off of a really good win, we win this game, we'll continue to move that momentum moving forward. We'll continue to prove ourselves against some of the best in the league. We lose this game, we'll dust it off, go on to the next.
Yep. And Dan Hynote made a great point this morning. He was talking with Robbie and Rexrode, and he said, assistant coach Dan Hynote, he said one of the best attributes that he's seen from John Hines here in this situation is he has put together a game plan that A, has been effective, but also he has sold that game plan to the veterans and this team. They believe they have a chance. That's a lot of it, right? When you look at player for player and you're saying, well, we're losing. We don't have Yossi. We don't have Forsberg. We don't have DeShane. They've got Crosby. They've got Malkin. You know, you've got to believe that you can win. And that's what I think the coaching staff and the leadership group has done a really good job of. Now, it's not going to happen every night, right? Every now and then they've had a dud where they have sort of turned it. Cinderella has turned into the pumpkin, you know, against Seattle in the third period the other day and in New York a little over a week ago, right? So that could happen at any time. But the bottom line is I think in that room they have a really strong belief that if they do the right things, they will have a chance to win, especially when you got the goalie. When you got the goalie back there.
We are right to your phones on this coming up next. Everything's on the table. The Predators match up with the Penguins tonight. Our discussion with Elliot Friedman. The Titans, should they tank for the 2023 season? 2023 season, yes. Connor Orr wrote in Sports Illustrated that he thinks that they should. All of your thoughts coming up next. And hey, the last chance to sign up and play the official 14-game bracket challenge brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts in Wall-to-Wall Sports and the Bluffs at Rocky Ridge. Enjoy the greatest and best views in the Nashville area from your dream acreage home site. Call now, 866-GET-LAND. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracketchallenge or the Game Nashville app now and pick your teams for a chance to win tickets to see Luke Combs at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, April 15th. Caroline Billy DeMays, 1025-1063 The Game.
Well, I definitely think you did with a 2-1 win and obviously an emotional one for sure. But what does that do for the confidence of not only you as an individual but the club to go into Boston and beat the best team in hockey right now?
Yeah, I mean, that was a massive win for us, right? Like, we're still right in the hunt and, you know, beating, you know, basically a top three team in the NHL right now. That was huge for us. And, you know, with a Winnipeg loss last night, too, we're making some ground in the standings. So, you know, I think if we're able to, you know, get some momentum off that win and gain some confidence, that'd be huge for the group.
That was Luke Evangelista on Chase and Michelle yesterday, breaking down the Boston Bruins win on Tuesday night. Unless we have thoughts,
to the phone.
To the phones. Phone lines driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought, Mike is on the line. What's up, Mike?
Hey guys, Willie, I appreciate the update you just gave us on the last segment about the captain not being able to join tonight. I'm kind of disappointed. I was hoping he'd be there because as great as the guys played the other night, certainly that would give him a boost. And they're going to have to play almost another perfect game to have a good chance tonight. What I'm really concerned about is, you know, Forsberg was skating with the team 2 and 3 weeks ago and traveling with them a little bit, and there hasn't been any inkling whatsoever about him coming back in, and I've really kind of got the feeling maybe he's not going to play again this year. I know the Preds are real close-vested about what they'll tell anybody, but have you got any inputs you can give us on what's going on?
Well, with Forsberg, I think it's pretty obvious what happened. And thanks for the call, Mike. And listen, I'll tell you, it is not something that Philip Forsberg is sitting there going, I don't want to play or let's not worry. He desperately wants to get back in there. But with the situation he's in, and I know he was skating. That's the thing. It was encouraging because a couple of weeks ago when they were on that long, long road trip, it looked like he might be on the verge of coming back. But it's, you know, the protocols, the symptoms. If you still have symptoms, it just is too risky to go back out there. You know, and this would not have happened, Derek, years ago. There was a generation where he might have tried to play him. You know, but I admire the safety precautions that the team and the league has now, you know, with concussions. You know, we saw the fall he took against Philadelphia. It was scary, right? I don't know. You can't compare two hits, but some of the actions with his body reminded me a little bit of Tua, right? When he went down, if you saw Tua Tagovailoa for the Dolphins, scary, scary stuff, right? And what happened with Tua? He came back too early. He still got issues. We don't know how it's going to affect him. So you can't, if you're not symptom-free, if you don't go through the protocols, as frustrating as it might be, then you have to stick to it. There's a reason, right? And so he just has not been cleared for Forsberg. And I know it's disappointing. You keep looking and you're hoping that number nine is going to be in there. But until he's symptom-free, you got to look out for his long-term health, you know, beyond his playing career even, right? And not to mention that he's under contract for 8 years. So that is tough. And again, you got to tip your hat to how they've moved on and stayed competitive without him.
Well, I mean, you can't rush a situation like this. You got to allow the player to heal. And if he's having any, you know, sort of side effects or it's experiencing anything still, then you hold him out. There's no need to rush him back or anything else. And if he has to sit out the remainder of the season, that's good, because then, you know, come next season, he will be ready to go.
And the Predators are handling it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, and not that Philip Forsberg, to your point, really doesn't want to come back and play, and not that the Predators ever would rush him back to play, but I think that it's the situation that the Predators are in now, mm-hmm. that there is no pressure to win, that there is no pressure to make the playoffs, that there is subsequently no pressure for Philip Forsberg to come back any earlier than is absolutely 100% when he is 100% healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but as a competitor, as you know, Derek, you know he's
you want to be
there
out
going,
there.
I know he's
I want to get in there.
Yeah.
I want to get in there. But if he's still, you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to trust the medical experts that if you're still feeling the symptoms, you're not ready to come back, and you are more susceptible to something that's even more long term. And so, I don't know what his concussion history is, but you know, in this day and age, you know, you're hard-pressed to find a guy who's played in the league for 8-9 years that hasn't had a single concussion, right? So everyone you get, you have to keep track of that and understand, you know, what's at stake. So we're hoping for good news. I don't know right now, because it's been tough, because it looked like he was close. But then some of these things are still lingering. I don't know the specifics of it, right? I've just watched him. You know, you watch what you know about players coming back from something like that, you start ramping up. And then when you get feeling where he is now, because he's back home. So I don't know what his workouts are like there. Probably get a little more of an update when the team gets back home. But what they've said most recently is he's not close. He's not on the verge of coming back right now. And that's disappointing, but it's the right thing.
It's a bummer, but it's not something you want to or can rush. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It's opening day. Willie and I are a couple of baseball nerds over here. We've got the Yanks on our TV. Willie's got the Yankees on his TV in Pittsburgh. And the MLB is going to look a little bit different this year. What do we feel about the changes and how the MLB will look different this year? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063. The game.
Almost every part of what MLB is doing this year We were the testing ground at AAA last year. The only part we didn't have that we will also have at like the MLB level, Will, is now no more shifting. You've got to have two infielders on the left of second and two on the right. You can't put the second baseman out in shallow right field to take away the left-handed batter who's got some power. So we're the same in that way this year as the major league level. But, yeah, we had the pitch clocks last year. They're wonderful. It didn't affect the runs per game. It wasn't as though everything was all of a sudden a 1-0 game because of the pitch clocks. It truly cut out the little bits and pieces of nothingness in a ball game that add up over time. If there's any MLB fan out there who's hesitant to like it or still not sure about it, trust me, you will over time like it. I think the players will adapt, some more easily than others. But, you know, the first 2 weeks when we had it last year, it was extremely noticeable, and we had extremely quick games. Then pitchers started to realize, okay, that 15 seconds, that 20 seconds, that's a lot more time than I thought it was. And instead of delivering the next pitch with like 11 seconds left on the pitch clock, it was more like 3 or 4 seconds or 1 or 2. And so the games leveled out to be in that sweet spot, 2.5, 2 hours, 40 minutes, not the hour 51 outlier, but also rarely did we go 3 hours last year.
That was Jeff Hems, Sounds play-by-play broadcaster, on some of the new rules that will be adopted in MLB this season. I want to get all of our thoughts on that, but first, I've got some good stuff to give away. So be caller 3 now to win a pair of tickets before you can even buy them to go see Queen and Adam Lambert at Bridgestone Arena on October 25th. That is caller 3 to go see Queen and Adam Lambert at Bridgestone Arena on October 25th. Good luck with that. And in that clip, Jeff Hem talks about how, hey, if you don't like the new pitch clock rules, you'll get used to it. The players will get used to it. And I'm in that group. I don't like it. I don't like all these new rules. I don't like it at all. I don't want a game to be decided by a pitch clock violation. That's no fun. But I do understand that the length of baseball games is getting absolutely out of hand. Like, there is no reason a baseball game needs to go for 4 hours at all. But I don't like all these rules. I know I sound like a cranky old lady, but I just...
You're a traditionalist.
I am.
When it comes to baseball.
Caroline, I'm just going to tell you, give it about 6 weeks. Let's have this discussion again around May the 1st, okay? And you tell me how you feel, because I was just like you. I was skeptical. I was like, I don't like baseball clocks, all of this stuff.
Don't touch my sport.
Yeah, but I am all in now. The clock is the best thing that has happened in a long, long time. I promise you, you won't even notice it on May the 1st. There will not be any violations to speak of by May the 1st. It's already, the players have adapted throughout spring training. And take a look at the game you're watching right now. The game started a little bit after what it would have been noon Nashville time. So about 12:08.
And they're in the seventh inning.
We're in the top of the seventh. It's a 3-0 game. The game is moving. I don't really care exactly how long the game takes. I'm not one of those guys. I got to be out of there in 2.5 hours. But what I like is the game when I'm watching it, is it moving or is it dragging? There are way too many games. The game was dragging too much. And even though I love baseball, I'll stick it out. There's just too many times where I sit there and go, okay, let's get it moving, guys. Let's get it moving. And I think this is going to help. You're going to see a quicker game. You're going to see more action. And you're going to see better baseball. You're going to allow the players to do their thing. So I think let's check back on May the 1st, Caroline, and see if you still feel the same way.
Okay. And you're right. The games need to be consistent, and they need to be concise, and they need to continue to move at a pace that is good for the viewer, whether you're at the ballpark or you're watching on television. No one really wants to, because what baseball has to understand, and I know they do, you have your loyal watchers. You have those people. They're going to watch no matter if the game's 2 hours or 5 hours. They're going to watch. What you want is those new viewers, and you don't want them to have to sit through a four and a half hour game, especially if this is their first real opportunity or time to sit down and watch a baseball game. They don't want to sit down and watch it for 4 hours and then get completely turned off by it. So I think the new rule is good for the sport moving forward. But I do wonder this, because I think you're right. Right now, it's new and it will go, and players adapt. That's just how we do and what we do to new rules eventually. But come late in the season, and Caroline and I talked about this off air a couple hours, like an hour ago, I think this is where you're going to really see the clock come into play later in the season. Why? Because now these pitchers, they got to throw more pitches in a short amount of time, and they're on a count. And now you got to strategically, as a manager, know when to put your guy on a mound, know when not to, know when to bring in that reliever, and when not to, because, as you know, it's going to end up being more of a war of attrition, because now these pitchers, they can't sit on the mound for 25, 30 seconds. The batter can't sit there and adjust everything on his body and then step up to the plate. This thing has to be rapid fire. I think it will affect baseball in a good way moving forward later in the season, because now teams are going to wear down a little bit.
Well, that's what I think we're going to find out. But as you heard Jeff Hem, mm-hmm. All these questions were thrown out there for AAA. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the year, there really wasn't an effect, you know, that anybody could see. The runs per game stayed about the same. The game moved. And I don't think that there was a lot of fatigue. But people have asked that question, Derek. Like, mm-hmm. let's say maybe a certain pitcher that's maybe not quite as fit. You know, maybe he's a max thrower. You know, there are some guys that are a little more finesse, right? Mm-hmm. But there's so many power throwers now. Guys throw harder than they've ever thrown. Will there be velocity affected if you're throwing every 15 seconds as opposed to maybe somebody that, you know, walked around the mound a little bit more, took his time between pitches to gear back up? Those are little things that I guess we're going to find out. Mm-hmm. But I think in the end, that 10 seconds, I don't think is really going to make any difference. But it will make a difference in how quick you get out of there. And so if the major complaint from the fans, right, is I just don't like watching a 3.5-hour game that's 3-2. Right? Mm-hmm. It's not how a 3-2 game should be. Now, if it's 10-8, yeah, let's stay around for 3.5 hours. No problem, man. Who's up? You got home runs coming? That's great. But let's just make sure the game we're watching is moving and there's action going on. I want to see first to third. I want to see stolen bases. I want to see guys moving on the base pass. That's what the new rules are designed to do.
And because
so I'm all in.
To your point, Willie, the length of the game, I mean, there can be a great game that goes 6 hours. It's more so the speed of the game. Can you keep people engaged? Now
tempo.
The attention spans are shorter than they have ever been, ever. You got to keep things moving, keep things rolling. I don't want to watch guys just standing around. Predators in action tonight at Pittsburgh, taking on the Penguins. Puck drop at 6 o'clock. We'll have your pregame coverage at 102.5 The Game with Max Herz starting at 5 o'clock for the Predators pregame show. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company's up next.
Be love and love somebody. Peace.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.